You know, you have to hit record automatically. Hey, welcome to the Protectors Podcast. I've been looking forward to this conversation for quite some time now. Here with Jody Mackey, and Jody taught me what it's like to be an instructor, firearms instructor. Maybe you guys don't know that I love shooting. I mean, I really love shooting. And one thing I wanted to do, like during a pandemic, was learn how to teach other people how to shoot. So what did I do is I looked up and I said, huh, how do I do this? And I found Jody's course and boom, there it is. Now we met. How's it going?
It's going great. It's going great. And I'm still teaching instructors.
Well, I do want to say thank you for having me into your home today. I love doing in-person podcasts. And one thing I do, I love talking about guns. I love talking about instruction more than I'd love talking about guns.
Yes.
And you've been doing this for a while. So what is your back? How did you get into this?
Yeah.
And for a female to jump into a male-dominated instruction base, I love that even more. And we'll get into why I love that more later on. But how'd you get into this?
Yeah. So I've been in it now 10 years, which is a long time. It seems doesn't seem that long. And so I originally, when I was younger, I always thought I would be a fashion designer and design red carpet gowns. And now I'm a firearms instructor and own a training academy. And so it's kind of funny. It's the antithesis of what I thought I would be doing. But I used to shoot in my backyard. And I'm from Minnesota. That's what you do. And my dad was a hunter. And so he taught me how to shoot. And after I relocated to the East Coast, I actually never really did a lot of anything with firearms. Like I never thought that would be what I do. And so I ended up meeting someone who owned a firearms training academy. And so I was doing marketing consulting at the time. I went ahead and did some training and got deeper into the business and did his marketing. And then I realized that he was not a good fit and he escalated every year I was with him and I had a hard time getting out. And after I got out, within 2 weeks, I had my website up and my company launched. And now I'm in 14 states and just published a book and getting ready for my concealed carry line. And I've certified over 4,000 instructors nationwide now. So for whatever reason, it was all meant to be.
4,000, including me, which was great.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, you know, so I can't even imagine how many gun owners are out there. How many have gun owners are out there post-pandemic? Because I know when I took the basic course in order to take the instructor course, the people in that course were so diverse. There was like people from every religious denomination, every political party, and young, old, seniors down to like people in their early 20s. Just to take a basic firearms course, basic.
Right.
So many people want to learn it, and a lot of people want to teach it. And the reason I really liked your course was it, you know, coming from the law enforcement background, you know, in the military. At the time I took your course, I was 20 years into the one and had in a, what, 20, long time, let's say a long time. And I, you know, you kind of get stuck on your basics. And your basics might not always be the best. And what I learned in your course to become an instructor has helped me in my own personal shooting as well. And I think that's one of the reasons I really wanted to get into competition shooting is because I slowed down a little bit. And your method of instruction is very calming and very point forward. So, I mean, I like that. So how did you learn how to just interact with people in such a calming, quote unquote, motherly way? But when you're dealing with shooting sports.
And yeah, shooting, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I train all levels from the woman who sits in the class who cries when she sees the guns in the room to the high level, you know, Olympic shooter even I've had in my classes and high level agency people on a regular basis. And what I find is that, you know, one, it's the anxiety level because shooting is all mental. It has nothing to do with shooting. Shooting is easy. It's the mental part that's hard because we never want to feel the gun go off. And some people have their preconceived ideas or their bad associations with the gun, where they associate it with violence. And so there's a lot of more, lot more mental blocks they have to get over to be able to actually squeeze a trigger. And so I've learned how to really work with those people to make sure that they feel comfortable, because they have to trust you and they have to feel safe to be able to actually, you know, get over those roadblocks to be able to actually do it. And so for the high level people, I deal with a lot of egos on a regular basis. And so, you know, what they find usually is what I have to teach them is are things that they've never heard before, because it's all coming from a whole different place. Like training in the agency is way different than training civilians. You know, they're two different things. And so there's kind of an evolution to all of that. But my method that I developed is a science, because if it's not a science, there's no way to diagnose what you're doing wrong.
Well, let's talk about it. You have a book, The Mackey Method, Marksmanship Guide. So let's talk about what is the method?
Well, I have developed this over the years, and I've had instructors throughout my classes ask me if they could record me. Can they take photos? I've said, no, you can't, because I'm going to put it in a book and you can buy it later. And finally, the book is out and it goes deep into the method on how it actually works, the mindset behind it. And also the techniques that I use to get people on the bullseye quickly. Because as an instructor, as anybody in the firearms industry, if you're going to train someone else, your credibility is really your students' bullseye targets. You know, I see instructors all the time that have people that have their giant targets and they say, yay, I shot today. And I'm like, who cares? You didn't really learn how. So I want them to be able to hit the bullseye and do it quickly. And so that is really what my method is about. And in my book, I detail how to do that with your students, how to keep yourself safe, how to keep them safe. Safe, number one. And then also the diagnosing of the targets and how to fix their certain issues, because people want to know how to fix it. Like, we can say what it is, but actually how do you do it is more important than anything. And so I kind of give the actual recipe of how to make that happen.
Well, that's the thing, is about learning bullet trajectory and learning. I mean, listen, you're going to point at a target, you're going to shoot it, and you're going to hit it. But there's so many fundamentals like grip, trigger pull, sights, everything, and nerves. You mentioned nerves.
Yeah.
And that is one thing I talked about with, like, a lot of people when I mentioned your class, is about the calming effect and not being up there and in their ass, especially when someone is first learning how to use a firearm. Not everybody has the same experience. And when you're teaching a class, especially basic courses, some people have never even touched a firearm.
Many. Yeah, in Maryland, when they take the class, they have to take the class to even buy a gun. So they don't even have one yet.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Jersey's like that too.
Yeah, so that's the majority of people that I'm teaching now that are not in the instructor level. Like, they've never touched it before.
Are, you know, like people like me who have touched it and shot it and all over the years, like when you go through courses, you know, especially law enforcement and military, it's usually not the most calming factor to how to, like, fire a rifle or a pistol. It's usually like, you're a dumbass, you're shooting wrong, fix it. And there's not really like a one-on-one instruction or even like a small group. You know, when you're dealing like with these academies where you have 20, 30, 40, 50 people and you have three or four instructors trying to roll around and trying to get someone to hit the target, they don't have time to be patient.
Right.
And even in law enforcement, there are some people that have never touched a gun before, and now they're in law enforcement.
Yeah.
I would implore people, if you're going to join one of these agencies, get a basic understanding and take like a course like yours.
Right. Yeah. Because you can't shoot fast until you can shoot slow. And unfortunately, when we look at most of the agencies, they are shooting fast before they even learn how to properly squeeze their trigger. And that's a problem, because then you can't ever catch up. You know, you can't get that amazing score. But most of the standards are low. People can still pass, but that's not helping them on the street be able to protect themselves or the community. And so I really want people to have a high level of accuracy and start shooting slow, because what you also see when you add speed is that you start to create bad habits in your body that you don't necessarily even know that you're creating. But the more habits we have, the more dynamics that we're incorporating into our shooting, the more inconsistencies and elements of error we are creating. And so that's why I, you know, when I'm teaching grip, we're not gripping tight with our hands, because you're competing with your strength and your dominant hand will win. That's why most right-handed shooters are to the left, left-handed shooters are to the right, because we're gripping too tight. And, you know, when we listen to the agencies and the industry kind of shtick that everybody says is everybody says, hold on to the gun tight so nobody can take it away. But guess what? If you're in a situation, you're going to have adrenaline. You're going to hold tight. You don't need to practice that. And so I want people to practice with their perfect fundamentals consistently. And then when the incident comes, it won't be on crack when you're actually gripping.
You know, I'm so glad you said that because so much technique and everything comes from Hollywood. The Hollywood instructors. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times people you find into the law enforcement field who have been instructors for a long time, some of them never really, you know, they get a lot of their methods from the Good Idea Fairy.
Right.
And about that, you're going around a corner, they're going to grab your gun, they're going to rip it out of your hand. Yeah, but you know, when you're going and you're used to the basic fundamentals of grip and sight picture or not even using sight picture point shooting, you're not, the last thing you want to do is be holding on to that death grip of that firearm.
Yeah.
You know, you brought up a good point, too, is in like, that's why I always tell people, do sport shooting. Get used to some, even if it's just, it's sport and it's not realistic, you think. But having that adrenaline surge, having that buzzer go off, having to move from stage to stage, because 9 times out of 10, when you go to the range, people are stationary. They're right. Shooting a paper target that's not moving.
Right.
They're not moving. If you watch all the law enforcement videos, body cams and everything, you analyze them, you look at them, and any good instructor should do that. Things are dynamic. People are moving. Your body is moving. You might be crouching. You might be getting behind cover. You might be shooting at unfamiliar type positions. You might be shooting on your back, your side, through your legs, over your head. You're shooting in every different way to get bullets on target. These are things that need to be in effect.
Yeah.
And you can't, like, when you're throwing all those different aspects in it, and then your grip's off, and that shot has to be within like a foot diameter at 20 yards.
It's over. Yeah, it's over. And I always talk to people about the rounds, the ballistics between your shots at 3 yards versus 15 if you're shooting standard pistol rounds is not really much different. Your shots should look exactly the same at 15 yards as they do at 3. But they typically don't, because in your mind, you're like, wow, that's really far. I don't think I can hit it. So you grip tighter, look at the target and pull hard, right? So we're doing the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing because of the stress and adrenaline. And so I challenge people all the time, start at your close distance, get your perfect fundamentals with your shots in the same hole, keep bringing it out further. And as you bring it out further, you've got to mentally really get yourself to grip looser. Imagine barely touching your trigger because your body's automatically going to be more aggressive. And so as you're doing that, then you can start adding, you know, the other types of shooting and incorporate that and still control your adrenaline. And so there's some interesting things when it comes to the adrenaline aspects, and a lot of it comes with breath. And you can probably speak to some of that. So do that. And then let me tell you a couple things that I've learned.
Keep it calm. And, you know, the old military adage was like, squeeze. But like in reality, it's just you have to breathe.
Right.
You have to keep your blood flowing. You have to keep your heart moving.
Yeah.
You have to keep it going. You can't, like a lot of times when stress hits, your body tenses up and
you grip tighter. And you grip tighter. And you shake.
Yeah. And then what happens too is you're not breathing. Your body, physiological ways, the tunnel vision is happening, but then your eyesight goes and then you're trying to focus on a small little front sight. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to blur out the back sights or whatever techniques you do. And you're just like, ah, oh, shit, I don't know where that bull's going.
Yeah.
And add adrenaline and add the dump and everything else going. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people talk about wanting to time their breath when they're shooting pistols and the valley of the respiratory, you know, all that. But to me, it's better just to breathe because mm-hmm. it's intuitive to hold your breath. Like I yell at people on the range all the time to breathe. I can feel when they're holding. It's just intuitive to do it because it's you know, the adrenaline is there. There's, you know, stress. We're, you know, trying to focus mm-hmm. and they're automatically holding the breath. And so I always say just breathe. But I think that this is something that we should all practice in our daily lives to start making it our own muscle memory. So when you get to the adrenaline scenario, it's going to just be a natural response, just like anything else. And so if you're, you know, behind the guy, the old man with the hat on that's driving, you know, 20 miles an hour and you're in a hurry, take a breath, right? You're at the grocery store. The lady's taking 6 years because the computer's not working, right? Please wait for assistance, right? Breathe, right? So just those little incidents throughout your day to remind yourself to take a breath, to develop that muscle memory so that when you get in those situations, it's going to be getting oxygen to your mind so that you can make those good decisions and incorporate all of those skills that you've hopefully learned.
And when you mentioned, you know, hey, talk about what you know about breathing. And I'm like, me, with pistol shooting, I'm just like, I'm just breathing. Yeah. I'm doing my thing. Mm-hmm. I'm keeping focused. The back of my mind went to 30 years ago in basic training where they're telling you to shoot that 300-meter target with iron sights. And you got to, whatever, and then squeeze, you know. But that's what, you know, it all comes down to that basic line of training and stuff. And you start thinking about it.
Yeah.
So it's so different. So your book, The Mackey Method, is that just for instructors or is this for everyday people?
Well, everyday people could also read it and it would break down the method at a different level. You know, the understanding would be at another level because I really break down more in detail the mental parts and how to deal with those issues that you're struggling with in your mind and then how to get your students there so you can use them for yourself, of course. And people are kind of surprised because it's truly the antithesis of what most people say. And so they all look at me like, what do you mean? And I always tell them, you know, you're going to have your shots through the same hole by the time you leave the qualification. And they all do or they don't qualify.
You do.
Yeah, they all do. And I can get everybody there in five shots and then they go practice it and then they do it by the end because it's very, very simple is the goal because then we're eliminating those elements of error. And so that's really what I want to see is everybody consistent because the center mass training is tough. You're not going to hit your intended target when you add the stress and adrenaline. Mm. So I want perfect shots, super tight shot groups, consistency, and then you can keep, you know, upping your skill level from there. But that's really my goal for everybody.
Now you talk about like concealed and everything else like that as well. You know, the big thing nowadays is if you're coming off the line of like duty, you're going to have a duty belt. A lot of people, you know, big old holster and mag pouches and everything. But one thing we were talking about before we hit record was concealed carry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot different when you're adding outer garments and you're adding this and that and the type of firearm you're carrying. And one thing, you know, I am very pro firearm as far as carry something that you feel comfortable with. And I think we even talked about this in your class too, was like, just because you're female doesn't mean you need to have a revolver.
Right. Yeah, that's the worst one that I would ever recommend, the last one.
Oh, my gosh. Let's talk about the trigger pull and this and that. And it's just,
yeah. Then there's more safety issues with the revolver. Mm-hmm. And you have limited round count. And people aren't practicing, you know, with that, like because it's not fun to shoot those small guns. So it's irrelevant if you're not going to be able to hit your intended target.
You know, my everyday carry transitions from like, I have this little Smith Bodyguard 380 because I know I'm going to be able to carry it.
I
can
it's easy to conceal.
Anywhere, yeah. Like, throw a couple extra mags in there to a SIG 365 with optics to, you know, 1911s to everything. So everything, it transitions. And I think that when it comes down to concealed carry, having options and being comfortable with your options, including training with them. Now, what do you got going on with the concealed carry?
Yeah, so I actually have concealed carry boots for women. And we're on our last sample right now, it has Velcro on the inside. I'm going to hear my Velcro here. So it's Velcroed in and so that you can draw from either side, but you're going to be able to hide it. And no one's going to know you have it on. And one of the complaints that I hear a lot from most of the men that I train is their women won't carry on body. They want it in a handbag because it's uncomfortable or they can't legitimately conceal it. So this would be on body. Most people are not going to think that you're carrying in a knee-high boot.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also going to be able to easily draw from it and safely because a lot of the women's options I see are very unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can safely draw from it and be able to access it. And then also they're really fashionable. Like I want it to look good. Like I'm a fashion person.
No, they actually do.
So I would, you know, we have a manufacturer in Spain who's amazing. And so they're using really high-end leather. And so we're just really excited. So we're on our last sample now. And then we hope to translate this to men's because what a great way to carry. And undercover agent women will be able to wear these because no one's going to think to search that. And so we're excited to be able to get these out. And then I also have a clothing line that's going to be coming out for women that has safety items, less than lethal options that are going to be concealed within those items. Because again, the accessibility for women is what we struggle with. The pepper sprays in the bottom of their handbag or in the console of their car, like they don't have access. And so where is it so that it can be easily accessible so that you can defend yourself in that quick little time period that you have available, if any, you know?
What do you tell women about what they should carry and how they should pick out a firearm?
You know, I always say, you know, just like a car, we're going to try before we buy, but you don't know what you don't know until you train first. And people always say, oh, I'm trying to get a gun really quickly before your class. I'm like, what should I buy? Do not buy anything until you train with me. And then I'm going to give you a laundry list of ones that I like, and then you're going to go try before you buy and see which one you like. I don't like the super small ones either, because we never know what our incident's going to be. What if it's an active shooter at a further distance? I don't know that I'm going to hit them with those little tiny small guns. So whatever I carry, I know that I can hit my intended target at any distance. So it's not going to be super small and I can easily throw it in my pocket. And so it's going to be something that I can legitimately be accurate with. And in most states, you can't have more than one firearm on your person for concealed carry. Virginia is one of them. So you can't have a backup gun. So what you have is what you have. Maryland, you can't have a backup gun. Like, it depends on where you are. Minnesota, I think you can have as many guns as you want. Pennsylvania, you know, go to those states if you want to have a lot of firearms on your person. But most women have a hard time even carrying one. How are you going to carry? They can't even carry extra magazines. Like, they're not carrying multiple firearms. So you need to know that you can hit your intended target. And lately, so P365 is not my favorite because there's three or four walls in the trigger. It's very sticky. And so it's not easy to not pull your shots because of that, because it's not a smooth trigger. So that's one of them that it's a great size for women, but it's harder for them to be accurate. And one of my most favorite lately is the Canik TP9. I don't know if you've shot that, but they have it in a compact version. And what I like about it, the actual trigger is fairly short and light, but they have a lot of travel to the wall. If you have a concealed carry gun with a light trigger, you need a lot of travel before you get there, or you're going to shoot it before you're ready if that finger's on the trigger. And so that's one of the other reasons why I really like the gun. So you have to shoot one and see. But they used to be known for their really crappy guns, and they recently redid their whole line.
So many people shoot them for competition.
Yeah, they're amazing now. And their trigger's the same from their low end to their high end. Like, they did an awesome job with it.
Well, that's my problem with the 365 is the first thing I did was throw the trigger out.
Yeah. See,
you know, and that's just the same thing with like everything I have. The only gun I have not changed the trigger on is I have a Sig Scorpion 1911, but it's already got a decent trigger.
Right, that trigger is lovely. Like,
yeah, but you know, like everything else, I'm really trying to think right now. Like Walther PDP, I changed the trigger on that. Glock 17, I just changed the trigger.
Yeah, the Glock, you got to change the trigger. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, and so many people, I've carried Glock for years. Glock 19 for work. So I got a Glock 17 and I'm like, I put a trigger on it, Overwatch Precision Trigger. And I'm like, it's a new gun.
Right. It's yeah. Like, you know, the Glock trigger is horrible. Like, people don't know that don't shoot other things. Oh, no. Like, they don't even understand how horrible that gun is.
Well, the only other thing I have is I have a Smith M&P 5.7. But that's more of just like a fun gun.
Yeah.
But the trigger is a trigger.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, when you think about something, you have to be able to control it and shoot for 30, 40 meters at least.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about these active shooters nowadays and you're trying to put rounds on target at a decent distance, because a lot of times they're carrying something bigger, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and they might not stop. Like, people always think that they're going to stop and they're bulletproof just because they have a gun. Mm-hmm. You know, I had an agency guy that was on one of the military bases during one of the recent active shootings. And he was standing with two other agents next to him with double pane glass between them and the active shooter. The active shooter was shot 9 times with 9mm rounds. And after that, he shot and killed each man standing next to him. And so proximity, layers of clothing, adrenaline, drugs, like, you know that probably better than anybody. But the actual people out there caring don't have that idea in their minds that that's going to happen. Like, they just think that, one, you might not even be able to access it because the average crime's over in less than 3 seconds. And two, if you're not practicing drawing from the holster, forget it. You're going to shoot yourself before you ever even access the gun. And three, it might not stop. And it takes an average of 7 seconds for someone to realize they've been hit by a bullet. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the 21-foot rule, it takes less than 3 seconds to run to somebody at 21 feet. So what else are you, what else do you have in your hand? What else are you going to do?
And when we think about shot placement, how many targets have the shot, the 10 ring in the gut area? There's really no vitals down there. You need to shoot hearts. You need to shoot things that are going to stop someone.
Right.
And that's why I think we need to start moving on to dynamic targeting.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to like, and this is like after you learn the basics.
Right.
Everything always comes down to the basics.
Yeah.
And that's the old adage too, is like the only thing that makes a, you know, a JV team not a pro team is mm-hmm. because they're just, they know the basics.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. My Maryland classes specifically, I do 4 hours of range with each student before I sign off on them. So they do tons of classroom, but they're doing 4 sessions with me. So I'm trying to get them to qual fairly early, because then we do call and command drills and you know, turning targets. And, you know, I start to incorporate all of that so that they can start to now then learn how to incorporate the speed. Mm-hmm. You know, are they ready after that? No, but they know what to practice now and how to get ready for that. Because if we're going to carry, we need to have those skills. And unfortunately, I see instructors, here's your 25 rounds, go out and shoot it. And okay, you're on the size of a building target, you passed. Like, I don't agree with that. They're, you're putting those people out on the street. Like, there's a trickle-down effect mm-hmm. if we don't do a good job. You know, it's those people in the community now that are in danger, kids that are in danger, like the neighbors, the, you know, there's so many facets to this that people don't
you
think about.
You brought up an excellent point, is because, yes, when an active shooter happens, and yes, when you're drawing your weapon, your firearm to fire it, a lot, as a civilian, you don't think about what's behind it.
Right.
You think about, you and you're shooting a volley of rounds, you're hoping something hits a target. Little kids behind them, bullets go through things.
Right.
They go through walls like there's
yeah.
nothing.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, I shot a 22 in my house by accident. Hey, listen, I'm a kid. It's before I took Jody's class. This
was right.
Like, this is 40 years ago. And it went through like 4 walls.
Oh my God, yeah.
It goes through everything.
22s especially.
22,
yeah.
So, I mean, when you're thinking about it, there is so much more to like carrying a firearm than just learning how to draw and fire.
Yeah, absolutely. And we look at the active shooter that was just within this last year that shot at 40 yards.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he was lucky. I mean, he hit him. I think he shot 10 rounds, but thank God he didn't hit anywhere outside of that. Like, that's a really crazy shot to take, not knowing, you know, what's beyond all of that, because mm-hmm. he probably couldn't see. If he would have shot other people, he wouldn't have been a hero. And, you know, so are you taking that risk? And do you know you can hit your intended? Like, 10 shots is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say I'm training to shoot the gun out of the guy's hand because I'm super accurate. Now, with the adrenaline stress, is that reality? Probably not. But that's my level of accuracy that I'm planning to you know, acquire if I can.
Yeah, it's shoot the stop. And that, a lot of times that means a very small target.
Yeah.
Very small target.
Yeah.
When you're thinking the size of a heart and like the blood pumping, are you talking about a head? And you got to be the right shot on the right part of the head too. You know,
yeah.
So it's not just anything counts. So.
Yeah.
There's so many different factors for it. So what's next for you?
So what's next? Well, I'm still doing instructor classes and some random permit courses when I can. And I'm out doing more and more like crime prevention types of work where I'm speaking at schools, because we're trying to change the mindset with some of the bullying. Like the active shooter, we need to prevent it before it happens. And I think there's so many ways to do that, and we just aren't speaking about them. And so we need to start talking to kids about, you know, different levels of empowerment when it comes to the bullying and trying to get them to understand their level of impact that they can have on their community by saying something or stepping in. And, you know, we don't see as much of this even in our communities because people don't want to get involved. They don't want to help. But if we don't start to do that, then how are we going to fix the issues? Because as we look at law enforcement, the numbers on the vacancies are going higher and mm-hmm. higher, and we have less and less to protect the people. And so how are we protecting ourselves? We need to be a community. And our hashtag for our Armored Village Division is Protect My Brother. Like, we need to start thinking in those terms. And so for our school program, we have kind of a, it's kind of like a Big Brother program where all of those kids get assigned to someone older than them as their big brother. So they mm-hmm. always have a protector. So no one's on an island, because that's where we see the active shootings coming. When those kids are on islands, nobody's at home. Mm-hmm. Nobody's listening to them in school. They're isolated. They're made fun of. They're, you know, and as we continue to see our new definition of masculinity as a guy with a big gun. What are they going to do when they want to feel like a man? They're going to go get a big gun and they're going to figure out how to find one. And so our goal is to try to, you know, mitigate all that at a lower level from them just starting to think about each other as a community and start to get back the humanity aspects, because we see us losing that every day. Okay. And so we're doing more and more of that training within schools and assault prevention in colleges and all those other things. So we have a lot happening.
Well, you're not just in Nova either.
Right. At Maryland University multiple times, University of Mary Washington as well, Virginia University. So we've been, you know, expanding that as much as we can, because I want more people to be educated. And it's not just women, like everybody, you know, women are crazy too. I always say to guys, like the stalkers, you know, I had a guy in Pennsylvania who was an instructor who was stalked for 3 years and they couldn't find who it was. And mm-hmm. he was absolutely terrorized. So this isn't just about women, like it's everybody. Our levels of crime because of technology are increasing.
Now, if you want to be an instructor through, you actually travel around too for that.
I do, yeah.
How do we get in touch with you?
Girlonfire.life is the website, and Girl on Fire Life is all of our Instagram and Facebook and all those things. And we're trying to expand more videos so that we have more resources out there so you can watch more for free. But I do the instructor classes on multiple different markets. And if you have a private group, if you have enough, we'll come to you. And I want to make sure that it's available to as many people as we can so that we can get more people trained well to train the people. So we're in a lot of places, but our carry line and everything's coming out. The book is on the website to download, actually, and we're working on the print copy, but it's available now.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was great.